Welcome, everyone. This is the Power Hour. It's so powerful, you get it for 2 hours. Alan Myers here, sitting in. We have a wonderful guest today. I thought he'd be here in the beginning, but he'll be in at around after our break. And that is Patrick Byrne, PhD, one of the founders of the America Project. Well, to open up, I was going to do this with Dr. Byrne, but excuse me, I'll have to do this myself. And our wonderful producer, Catherine Russell, likes Wackadoodle News. And she likes Wackadoodle News so much, she actually sent me a few, and I had some in my back pocket, but I'm going to open with this one, because this is just utterly amazing and slightly crazy. In Germany, this is recent, and this is coming out of the BBC. German scientists are trying to train cows to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And the first step is, yes, they created the Mulu. This is a toilet or some type of toilet device used to collect cow urine. And then they would treat it, and this would save the planet. Now, according to this article, worldwide, about 10% of all the greenhouse gas emissions are from human activities, and that would include cattle. Now, I'm going to just, number one, this is just absolutely crazy to me. The other is, and it brings up climate change. I'll spend a few minutes on this. I'm not one of those people who somebody might say, oh, you're anti-climate, you know, you're a conspiracy theorist. No. I believe climate change began right after Let There Be Light. Mm-hmm. And Mama Earth has been around for about 4+ billion years, round numbers. I don't have my notes in front of me. And to give you an idea of what climate change is like on Mama Earth, we're in the 5th documented ice age. The 4 preceding ice ages, which covered billions and billions of years, and Mama Earth during those time periods, those 4 different ice ages, went from everything from a total snowball to a hothouse and everything in between over and over again. The one thing that was consistent in every one of those first 4 ice ages is, of course, there was no human. Apparently something else is at play other than humans. We're now in the 5th ice age. And people keep talking about certain percentages of greenhouse gases. This is about as misleading as one can be. And I'll tell you why. If you go and check out records from NASA or other reliable resources, you will find that 3 gases, nitrogen, oxygen, and yes, argon, comprise 99.93% of the atmosphere. Round numbers, nitrogen, 78%. Oxygen, you know, that stuff we breathe that we really need, 21%. And argon, 0.93%. So 99.93% of our entire atmosphere are 3 gases, which gives you an idea of just how little these greenhouse gases are. CO2, which is the bad guy, the real bad guy, is 417 parts per million. Methane, which is the new bad guy in the block. Oh, we got to stop eating beef. We've got to stop. Oh, we've got to, because, you know, they're just producing too much methane. Methane is 1.7 parts per million. I want to give you a visual on that. Imagine a big long table. It's my table, by the way. And on this table is 1 million $1 bills. Okay? I am going to take off 999,998. That's mine. I'm going to leave you two. Keep the change. That's your methane. Really? Methane is the real big player here? CO2 at 417 parts? How many predictions of doom and gloom, for our planet has there been? And, and what's happened? All the predictions of Al Gore, did they go down? No. Did anybody criticize him for predicting that all the ice would be gone and it didn't? No. Did they take the sign down at Glacier National that the glacier would be gone by 2019 and they finally took it down in 2020? Yeah, because the glacier's still there. The point is, this is what scientists in Germany are doing, because greenhouse gases, which are absolutely minimal, this is the problem. These scientists need another job. Keep in mind one thing. The two biggest players in climate change, which is never talked about, that I've seen, is the sun and Mama Earth. The sun goes through cycles. We're in the 25th cycle since it was counted, or since they started counting. Sometimes the cycle is considered regular. Sometimes it's maximum. Sometimes it's minimum. Well, if you don't talk about what the sun is doing in a certain cycle, you can't really properly interpret what's going on in the climate on the planet. For example, when the sun is in a maximum phase, the number, the frequency, intensity of solar flares is massive. When the sun goes chill and it's just the opposite, we get cold. One of the more documented cold times was called the Ma Under Minimum. The Ma Under Minimum took place from 1645 to 1715, 70 years. I don't know about the rest of the planet, but Europe froze. It was so cold in London, the Thames River in the winter froze so thick that they held frost fairs or carnivals out on it. When you're not talking about the sun, you're misleading. And then there's Mama Earth. Well, Mama Earth comes with a tilt and a wobble. Sometimes she tilts on her axis, a little more, a little less. It affects how much solar radiation we get. Sometimes she wobbles. Gal's going to do that. And that's her pathway around the sun. That will also affect. None of these are talked about. All they do is talk about these de minimis amounts of gases. Why? I'll tell you why. I'm no fan of his, but sometimes you got to listen to the people you don't like. Henry Kissinger once said, oil, I would change it to energy. When you control energy, you control a country. He said, when you control food, you control people. A friend, Darren, and I came up with, when you control data or information, you control minds. So the overlay is this. When you own and control the monetary system of a country, you will own and control energy, food, data. They want to control energy. They want to control the country. Not good. Catherine, thank you for that. Very interesting way to open. Next, what do I want to this one. This is fun. Now, a lot of times when I talk about wackadoodle news, it's usually, it's not a lot of bright spots. This one has one. And I need to think about doing news pieces that have a bright spot. And this one does. And it makes me happy. A Portland State University professor. His first name is Peter. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I apologize, so I'll spell it. Boghossian. Well, he worked at the Portland State University, a publicly funded college, for many years as a philosophy professor. Well, he finally quit recently. And in an open letter, he accused the college administration of creating an environment that imperils dissent. It gets kind of ugly with what he says, but the bright spot is this. You've got somebody living in the belly of the beast who finally says no more. No mas, no mas. I'm not going to participate in this and I'm going to speak out. And he does. He goes on to say that the college has transformed itself into a social justice factory with a primary focus on race, victimhood, and gender. He says the students at Portland State are not being taught to think. Isn't that why we're there? Rather, they're there to mimic the moral certainties of ideologies. He accuses the faculty, or states the faculty and administrators have abdicated the university's truth-seeking mission and instead drive intolerance and divergent beliefs and opinions. This has created a culture of offense where students are now afraid to speak openly and honestly. He has even faced retaliation for what he said. On campus, people would harass him, maybe spit on him. Other professors were saying, don't take his classes. This is very heavy to me, very heavy. But we've got somebody who's standing up, speaking out, and letting us know that the college education you're paying for may not be the one that you want. Be aware. Be ready, like Peter, to stand up, to speak out, and to share what you see going on. That when we cannot, as a quote-unquote civil society, actually engage in civil conversations, we're the problem. No, we're not all going to agree on everything. Okay. But can we at least agree to be civil, to listen, to ask questions, to answer questions, and to do, to me, what is absolutely important, hunt facts. Yeah, you got emotions. Yeah, you got feelings. Yeah, you got values. I get it. But we need the facts. Hard, cold, carved in stone, provable facts. Then let's decide which is the best way to go. Continuing on with WAC News. Sometimes I talk about this, and to me, democracy is a four-letter word. Hope I don't get in trouble for saying that word. Well, I got a new four-letter word, NARA. It stands for the National Archives and Records Administration. Yep, these are the people in charge to maintain the permanent records of the United States federal government, which includes historical records. Well, the NARA, National Archives and Records Administration, apparently have a problem with many of the founding documents, including, yes, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. Because, well, these historical records may have outdated, biased, offensive, and possibly violent views and opinions. They are what they are. These are the documents, specifically the three I mentioned, that brought about a fight against and eventually being able to push Britain off these shores, to not be ruled by a tyrant, a monarch, and to bring about the rule of law. And if we don't have the best system today, I don't blame the founders. They gave us one heck or one H-E double hockey stick start. Maybe the problem was we haven't taken care of the great gift. Well, this attitude out of the NARA is actually not a surprise. I'll tell you why. Because in June of this year, the NARA has a racism task force, and they deemed artwork in the rotunda structural racism, and they decided to issue trigger warnings because you may be offended. I didn't know that we had a right to not be offended. And if what I say offends one person, not that I would do it intentionally, of course, but if what I say offends someone for some reason, well, what's the possibility that what they say will offend me? Well, then basically I think we just all have to be mute. We can't say anything. We can't share information, items, opinions, because someone somewhere might become offended, hurt, they may get triggered, or it might be a microaggression. I have no idea what a microaggression is. Like you bump into a feather. Oh, I've been scratched. This is what's happening in institutions at our national level. One last thing here. The NARA's website enumerates, so nice. They like to enumerate, but they don't seem to care about the enumerated powers in the Constitution that limits the federal government. They enumerate what constitutes, in their opinion, of course, harmful or difficult material on the website. This is what really just got me. It includes, their website includes graphic content of historical events such as violent death, medical procedures, crime, war, terrorism, and natural disasters. So you need a trigger warning for a natural disaster. I don't know. Maybe I need to call them up and ask them what the HE double hockey sticks are they smoking, because I wonder where it's legal. Last thing. This really upsets me. Yeah, sometimes I get upset. September 11th just came by. To me, it's a day of remembrance. And two people, definitely in the public eye, remembered 9/11 in a way that I did not. One is the current president. And he criticized Americans for what he said was anti-Muslim anger that occurred in the United States after the attacks took place. Interesting. He didn't seem to talk about the absolute horrific destruction and death that took place. Just the response. Kind of reminds me of our response, our country's response after December 7th, 1941. I wonder if he would have disparaged that. And then, you know him as W, former president. He had a speech, and he said apparently that the January 6th, and this is a quote, this is not my words, the domestic extremists from January 6th and jihadists share a disregard for human life. He's going to equate the destruction of the two towers, the Pentagon, and that plane that the passengers took down, God rest their souls. He's going to compare that horrific day to January 6th. It's tough. Well, we got a couple more minutes. Let me tell you who's coming to the show after our break. His name is Patrick Michael Byrne, PhD. And he has an interesting history of education. He's been quite the businessman. Again, I won't give you too much because I want you to come back after the break. He made some predictions back in between 2005 and 2008 that he got hammered on until after 2008. And I want to talk about that. And then I want to learn from him about his current activity. And since we have one more minute, I'm going to just mention this, and I don't make light of this at all. What happened in Afghanistan is absolutely terrible. But apparently, the leaders currently in Afghanistan are not being, let's say, all-inclusive in their leadership. And they've now determined that you cannot have a protest without their written permission as to time, day, place. That's it. We're going to break. This is the Power Hour. We'll be right back after these very important messages.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Herb and Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Calf, Sinew Orega, Oreganol Juice, Pure Lee C, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Orega Rest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Relieve stress and anxiety and create calmness in your life with Tranquil, available today at thepowermall.com. For a limited time, buy one Tranquil and receive the second one absolutely free. That's right, buy one Tranquil and receive the second absolutely free at thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hurry, supplies are limited.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Welcome, everyone. We are back, the Power Hour, and I am very fortunate, happy to share this time with our guest, Patrick Michael Byrne. Let me introduce him a bit, and then I want Patrick to talk about himself and his history because it's quite interesting. He's a young guy. He was born in 1962. He's young because he's a lot younger than me, and he's become very active. Now, this is something that comes to me because I'm more new to this game than I'd like to admit, and I'll use this kind of as a joke. The great one, Yoda, once said, "Do or don't do, there is no trying." Well, Patrick's a doer, and that's why I'm so happy to be able to talk with him today. Patrick, welcome to the Power Hour.
Alan, what a great honor to be on the Power Hour. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
You're most welcome. Before we get the end of the conversation, we're going to get to your current activity, which is called the America Project, which I believe you co-founded with Lieutenant General Michael T. Flynn.
Affirmative.
And I did check out your website. I highly recommend everybody go look at the website. And there's two of them, AmericaProject.com and AmericaProject.org. Now, I went to AmericaProject.com and I saw the videos, and it was really neat to learn more about your project. Tell me the difference between .com and .org as far as websites.
Actually, just go to skip.org. That looks like somebody's domain squatting. Skip.org. No, it's AmericaProject.com. That's the only legitimate one. The other one is just somebody's domain squatting, it's called.
Okay, good to know. And just so you know, yes, I did sign up yesterday. So I'm now...
Oh, good.
But before we get to the America Project, I'd like to learn about how a person got to where they are. Now, I noticed you've went to three different colleges, got three different degrees, Dartmouth for a BA, Cambridge for an MA. What is a Marshall Scholar?
It's something like a Rhodes Scholar, except Rhodes Scholar tends to be more guys like smart guys like Bill Clinton, but with a lot of personality and probably a lot more personality than real IQ, like George Stephanopoulos, Bill Clinton. Marshall Scholars tend to be like algebraic topologists and physicists. Dolby, the great engineer Dolby Sound System. The Marshall Scholars tend to be those guys. I was a real exception. They had some low standards that year, and they thought they'd have one guy who could tell a joke, I guess. So that's the difference. And it's you get to go to any university you want in the United Kingdom for free. It was a really quite a good scholarship. I really am super grateful to the UK government. I know there are conspiracy theorists out there who say that I was recruited into this, you know, the Rothschild or something like that. No, I went to Cambridge for 2 years and read philosophy books. Actually, I went to Cambridge for a year, and then I had a Viennese girlfriend. I went over to Vienna and lived for half a year, but it was a great scholarship, and they gave me a lot of time and money to see the continent. I spent 2 years as a guest of her governor's mat, and it's to thank us. George C. Marshall was the general who became Secretary of State and created the Marshall Plan to rebuild Europe, and in gratitude, Her Majesty's government created a scholarship where they picked 30 Americans a year to go over and study anything you want for 2 years at any university you want. So that's what it was.
That is fantastic. So you got in on good looks.
Good looks, charm, and a bit of Irish Blarney.
There you go.
I think.
And then you went to Stanford University, which is in California, and got a PhD in philosophy.
Yeah. Well, I know this sounds like a lot of, you know, as they say, BS, MS, PhD is bullshit, more shit, pop, higher, and deeper. Let me explain it this way. I got out of Dartmouth in 85, and I had been a football player, and I had a lot of pains. And I thought, boy, they'd always warned me these pains were going to come. We're 50 before football players felt this. This is terrible. Turns out I was filled with cancer. I got out of college, and within weeks I was in the hospital, and I was late-stage cancer, and I spent basically my 20s dealing with that. I was in the hospital for 3 years, and I was convalescing for 3 years. And in that period, I could never have held a normal job. So I went out to Stanford, started a master's degree in mathematical logic. The cancer came back. I was in the hospital there. Anyway, Stanford was wonderful to me. The philosophy department worked with me through as I was in and out of the hospital for years. And I ended up sort of moving on from mathematical logic into economics and political philosophy. And in the middle of all that, I won a Marshall Scholarship to go to Europe. So I went and did that for 2 years, for Britain. So, because I really was almost one step above a hospital patient. I mean, I could walk sort of a few hundred yards at a time or such. So being a nice, quiet academic and reading books and spending a couple of years seemed like a very, about all I could muster. And I was about 28, 29 when I sort of moved on from all that and moved on with my life. And by then I'd gotten a PhD in philosophy. Studying the intellectual history of the U.S. Constitution is ultimately where I ended up. I was one of those geeks who could tell you, sort of go through the Constitution and tell you sort of every line or principle in it, trace it back to Athens, trace it back to something in Roman law or something in the, you know, from about 800 years ago. So I just tried to cut all your, you know, to me it's a lot of sound and fury signifying nothing. So I didn't want to spend 20 minutes walking through that. So pardon me for just rushing it.
No. Again, when you've been there, done it, sometimes people make light of what they've done. I would say, especially now that I know that you were going through such medical issues at the time, the fact that you had the willpower to stand and deliver and get through it, that's really admirable. And just so you know, because we're just meeting for the first time,
Samuel Johnson said that when you tell a man he's to be hung in a fortnight, it tends to focus his mind tremendously. So I had the advantage of that. They were shocked when I saw 30, and when I was 30, they told me you're never going to see 40. And so it's when you live like that. So I've never settled down. People say, why aren't you married? I've never really thought in terms of settling down, having a family and all that kind of stuff. So, and here I am, 58, still looking around. So that's also why I have a certain what some people find is a certain devil may care attitude about my future. I've died 500 times. I've literally died. I've had 113 surgeries, and they've done 400 to 500 what are called cardioversions, where they give you something called a bolus of adenosine, which stops your heart. Either an electrical charge or a dose of adenosine stops your heart for a minute. And I've had that for, so I've died 500 times. So my attitude towards the thing is, what the hell is with 501? I don't really care. So, but people sometimes wonder why I have such a certain devil-may-care attitude about my personal safety these days.
Well, it definitely shows that death doesn't bother you, and you're doing really well for a dead guy. So, thanks for being here. But to the, you brought up the Constitution, and I'm going to just, again, we've just met, so you don't know this about me. On Saturdays, I'm on a radio program out of Southern California called Constitution Radio. My longtime friend is Douglas V. Gibbs. He is the Constitution educator, scholar, writer. I've become very fascinated with the Constitution. I find it an amazing contract. And to me, given what I know about the Constitutional Convention, which was 4 months of hell raising, I mean, I think to the point, it was Ben Franklin who eventually said, hey, boys, let's go across the street and pray. You know, this ain't working. That you have a great compromise, something that had never been done in the history of humanity. And, it, you know, most people, they don't care about the Constitution, and it's probably because they never read it. But it's, to me, it's an amazing document, and we need to start taking better care of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're in its last days. It's either there's a tombstone on the American experiment that reads 1776 to 2021, or we expose what just happened. And to me, so I am in this election integrity fight. It doesn't have anything to do with Donald Trump. Much respect to Donald Trump, much respect to the people who admire him and love him and voted for him. I didn't vote for the man. I've never voted Republican or Democrat. I vote Libertarian on principle because I think that they actually respect the Constitution the most, although I acknowledge that on the Republican side, there are, of course, people like Clarence Thomas and such who deeply respect it. And the conservative movement is trying to conserve the Constitution. So in that sense, libertarian and classical liberal and philosophical liberal and conservatives, we're all kind of on the same side in that we think it's all about the Constitution. And I think part of that has to do with education, but part of it has to do with natural makeup. We understand what's on the far side. I've been lucky since the late 80s, I've been making trips to the Middle East because of a social connection there who took me all around the Middle East. And I've seen a lot of war and aftermath of war, more aftermath of war, not much of the actual war. And it's just amazing to me how often. So I started going to Lebanon with some family friends from Lebanon many years ago. And I was always surprised how they would take me out. This is when the Civil War had just ended. And you go out, and there's all these buildings shelled and in rubble. And people I met used to want to take me to different places around Beirut, which was just a big rubble at the time, and show me things and say, you see this street, which was just a garbage dump? This used to be like Rodeo Drive, and that was the Rolls Royce dealership, and there was the Lamborghini dealership. And I used to wonder why they were kind of, it was a little weird in the early 90s how they were so adamant about doing that with me. And I used to think maybe it's just they're so embarrassed. You know, Beirut was a super sophisticated French-speaking, but there's Paris in the Middle East, although it was actually more elite than Paris, very sophisticated people. And I thought they were just embarrassed at their present circumstances because they were basically living in a garbage dump at the time, which the city had mostly turned into, or 30 or 40% had turned into. And I finally got that wasn't it. What they were trying to teach me was it could happen anywhere, Patrick. It happened anywhere. It happened in Beirut, and it could happen in the United States. The veneer of civilization turned out to be much thinner than we expected. And we let our political differences start pulling us apart, and we let it get out of control because we didn't think it could go. We didn't think it would get. And the next thing we know, this is, you know, we endured 15 years of this. It could happen anywhere. It could happen to you. And I've always sort of somewhere, gosh, almost 40 years ago, I took that, about 30 years ago, I took that as kind of this really revealed truth or something. I just remember that occurring to me in an insight one day in an interview or in a discussion with some people. And I took it, if there was any, I'm not one who turns to divinity to explain events in the world or in my life, but I've often wondered if there was any sort of divine plan in getting me to that place and time and seeing that stuff over and over. It was making me understand that. And ever since then, I've had this great fear that what I saw there would happen here. And the thing that keeps us from that is the Constitution. So some people think that in the absence of law and rule of law and this kind of and constitutions and stuff, you know, people are happy, go lucky, and life is good, and people are farting through silk and everything's candy mountain. Other people understand. There's a different point of view. It's Thomas Sowell who has written how these underlying psychologies drive things. And the other underlying psychology, I think, was best explained by
was his name? I wrote Lord Jim and Heart of Darkness, Joseph Conrad. And in Heart of Darkness, which was later made into a movie called Apocalypse Now, there is a Kurtz, this sort of godlike character, running rebellious godlike, I guess, Luciferian character who goes up a great river and he's up there. In the movie, it's Colonel Kurtz, Marlon Brando, who goes, you've seen Apocalypse Now?
Mm-hmm.
Listen?
Yeah.
Well, what he discovers up river is that humans removed from civilization. He gets to see into what is it humanity is made of. And, you know, at the end, both the book and the movie, all he has to say is the horror as he dies. But that's what's really at the heart of man. And if you come from that understanding of the world, then you very much care about things like the Constitution and rule of law, because you understand it's that's the thing you have, that's the membrane between us and that world of chaos and darkness. And so that's I think, you know, that's, I think, where we're coming from.
Patrick, thank you so much. That's a lot to process. The I'll make some comments. You were in Beirut and you saw the aftermath, as you so well described. Well, back in 1974, I had an opportunity to go into the Soviet Union and Poland and through East Germany. It was grim. I remember walking on the sidewalks of Moscow. There weren't that many people. And I do realize that different cultures have different attitudes about meeting strangers. In Southern California, you walk by somebody you don't know, you just nod,
hey,
smile.
How are you? Hey.
Yeah, it's not there, but it was
Americans
grim.
People think Americans are odd that way.
Yeah.
And Asians think it's very odd that we're that way.
Yeah. It was grim. When we got to East Germany and we got through there, we got to West Berlin. I went through Checkpoint Charlie. I saw the wall. We sat in a restaurant in East Berlin, and I looked out the window, and right, this is 1974. There's a building there that looks like it got bombed out in World War II and had never been fixed.
Oh, I'm sure.
And when you walked through Checkpoint Charlie, you could see the wall, you could see the razor wire, you could see what I call the kill zone. There's this area that had obstacles, you just didn't walk there. And all the guys on the wall carrying machine guns or rifles, they had them pointed in to East Berlin. They weren't pointed into West Berlin to keep people out. They were pointed into East Berlin to keep people in. When you have to put a wall up, the Iron Curtain, to keep your people in, people, take note. This is how bad it is. You have to forcibly retain or restrain your citizens because the world is so bad. The Constitution for me is, it's the great document that began this experiment of the rule of law, not the rule of man. And I think there's a reason why this education has been taken out of primary education. I think there's a reason why we don't learn civics, because if you don't know the Constitution,
absolutely,
if you don't know civics, you don't learn your duty to protect and defend, because this is a gift that came to us, and it is our duty, to use the word of the founders, it's our duty to pass this on to posterity, the future.
Hallelujah.
We're not learning that, and for me, I see a bright spot. And I do see, I'm not living in la-la land. I see we got lots of things going on, and we're going to get to what the America Project is working on. But to finish this segment up,
the bright spot
to me is that, and the America Project is part of it, There's many, many, many people in this country that are worried. They're not haters. They don't hate people. They want to be part of something good. They want to have their individuality, their freedom, their rights. They care for others.
Right. Nothing racist or right-wing about that. In fact, they're the ones who do care about others, frankly, in my experience.
And for me, people will ask me, well, Alan, what are you? You this, that, and they go through all the descriptions, left, right, up, down, all of this. And I go, and I just say, no, no, no. Well, then what are you? And I say, I'm about the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. What more do you need to know?
Exactly.
That's it. Okay, I'm not left or right, up or down, this or that. People say, well, are you liberal or conservative? And I go, well, what are we talking about? Because if we're talking about the second A, you might consider me liberal, because I think everybody who isn't insane and isn't a criminal has the right to lock and load. And when I talk to people about the Second Amendment, and, you know, I'll ask them, have you ever read it? They don't know it's the second shortest amendment of all the
real directives.
It's right to the point. And the other thing that the thing is, and this is why it's so important to read the Constitution. And I'm really glad I get to talk with you about this, Patrick. And that is, they didn't have bold, they didn't have underlining, and they didn't have italics, which meant if they wanted, the writers wanted to emphasize a word, and it's a common noun, they began it with a capital letter. Well, the Second Amendment has three common nouns that begin with a capital letter: militia, state, and arms. And people keep talking about, you know, and the federal government wants to get on this, of course, which is absolutely unconstitutional. And my point is this: the people that wrote, that came together, wrote and eventually ratified the Constitution, were representing their state, not the country, their state. The federal government was to be absolutely limited to its enumerated powers. And when they use the word state, they don't use it like we use it today. To them, New York, Vermont, they're all states. Like Germany was a state. England was a state.
France is a state, right.
Yeah, a sovereign, independent, kick-your-khaki entity. Well, the whole idea for me, the main idea behind the second A, is that it's telling the federal government, we don't trust you, and our people get to protect the security of our free state against your encroachments. And, you know, it opens a well-regulated militia. You have to go to the old dictionaries to understand that regulated back then meant not a bunch of regulations, but put in good order. And it was George Mason that said, the militia is basically, this is not a direct quote, is all the people except for a few politicians.
Right. I think it was Adams, actually. It could have been Mason.
Yeah.
But yeah, somebody asked him, what do you mean by militia? He could have been, and he said, by militia, sure, I mean everyone who's not in the government. Like, really, really direct.
And they wanted a well-regulated, put-in-good-order, because at the beginning of the Revolutionary War, they found out a lot of people didn't know how to shoot. And, you know, these people had to get trained up. So the well-regulated militia is to have people who are very capable and ready to protect the security of their free state, not only against encroachment on possibly by a neighboring state, but the federal government. That's
right.
It.
Right. So it's really a well-trained militia or a well-disciplined militia.
Yeah.
Or that's what you mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to – I know we're coming to break in a moment, and then we'll be back at 6 after. I did look you up. And I'm
like
sorry.
I just
had to laugh. and that is apparently, and we'll open with this when we come back, you are a leading figure in promoting conspiracy theories. And I
starting with that one I began promoting in 2005, that Wall Street was filled with crooks and the SEC was asleep at the switch or in bed with them, and it was all going to crash.
Patrick, hold that, because we're going to come back on that, and I'm very interested, and I've studied that time period. Alan Myers here. This is the Power Hour. We'll be back right after these important messages, and check out thepowermall.com. Great site. We'll be right back.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.